So we will read now. We're going to read from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 21. It should be on the screen behind me, so you can follow on there. But of course, you are more than welcome to grab your Bible or your app on your device and read along with that as well. So starting at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Thank you, Michael, and good morning, everyone. I want you to think for me about the most dearly loved person in your life, the person who is more important and more precious to you than anyone else. It could be your best friend, or it could be your wife or husband, or a parent or a child or a sibling. It doesn't matter what the relationship is, just think of someone who you care about very deeply. And now I want you to imagine that for some reason this person is living far, far away. Let's say that they're living in Europe. And on top of that, the only contact that you can have with them is by email. So what would that be like? Well, I'm sure that you would send lots of messages to each other, that you'd try to share your lives and do your best to remind and assure each other of your fondness and your affection. But yet, it would be difficult, wouldn't it? For the distance is great, and there'd really be something missing between you. But now I want you to imagine that you're at the airport, and after a long time of separation, this person is about to arrive back in Launceston. Imagine seeing them coming off the plane, coming through the doors, and then at last you're holding them tight in your arms. At last, you can feel the warmth of their embrace and the joy of their presence. At last, you can hold their hand and smell their familiar scent and hear the sound of their voice and see the expressions on their face. And as a result, you no longer have to just read about their love, but you see it and you feel it and you experience it and you enjoy it. Can you understand the contrast between a loved one who is far, far away and a loved one who is present in your life, who you can see and touch and talk to and embrace? It makes such an enormous difference, doesn't it? I mean, we've seen this during COVID, haven't we? There are friends and family who have been apart for much longer than usual. And let's be honest, they've had a lot more than just email, haven't they? They've been able to talk on the phone. They've been able to send gifts through the mail. They've been able to see each other over Zoom. Whoops. But yet time and time again, we've seen it on the news. And some of us may even have experienced it in person, those physical reunions, and just how incredibly important it is for us to be together, to not just hear about each other's love from a distance, but to feel it and enjoy it up close. But that then leads us to a question, and that question is this: what kind of relationship do you have with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it more like the relationship you might have with a loved one in Europe, where you can read about his affection from a distance, but that's about it? Or is it more like the relationship you might have with a loved one who is right here, living close by, visiting regularly, present in your life every single day, one where you can experience his love in a real and a meaningful way? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? It's an important question. For who could be more significant and precious than our Saviour, our Redeemer, our dear friend and brother, Jesus Christ? In this sermon series, we've been talking about his heart, about his own heart for sinners and sufferers just like us. But how do we truly come to know his heart for us? Do we only read about it in the pages of the Bible? Or can we feel and experience it in a real and a tangible way? And so I ask you this morning, is Jesus distant and far off, or is he near and present in your life every single day? Well, as we think about this, we should begin with those first disciples. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about what it must have been like to be one of them. I mean, it all started when Jesus began his public ministry. And he invited 12 men to follow him. I guess that they'd been strangers before that, but then they began to get acquainted. It seems that they lived together, they went everywhere together, they did everything together for at least 3 years. And so they would have gotten to know Jesus extremely well. Of course, they would have listened to his marvelous teachings and his parables. And they would have seen his amazing healings and his miracles. Those things are described in the four Gospels for us in great detail. But more than that, they would have heard Jesus speak their own name. And they would have grown familiar with the tone of his voice and the sound of his laughter. They would have come to know his gestures, his knowing looks, his posture when he sat and his gait when he walked. They would have felt the touch of his hand and tasted the food that he prepared, whether naturally or miraculously. But still more than that, they would have experienced his personal friendship and devotion, his understanding and his tenderness, his wisdom and his knowledge, his compassion and his mercy, his approval and his disapproval, his joy, his frustration, his sorrow and his passion. Those first disciples did not just hear about Jesus, but they lived with him. He was right there in their midst. They didn't only know about what Jesus did, but they truly knew who Jesus was. And we see this reflected in our passage today. For Jesus is explaining his solidarity with the Father, that they're on the same page, sharing the same heart of grace and compassion. And so he says from verse 7, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus says to his closest companions, "You've been with me, and now you know me. And if you know me, then you know the Father as well." And so they had developed a close, personal, and intimate relationship with Jesus. They had genuinely delighted in his love. They had truly experienced his heart. But yet it would not be long until everything changed. These disciples, well, they would have hoped that Jesus would be with them always. But yet it wasn't to be, was it? For he started telling them that he was going to leave. In John's Gospel, this begins in chapter 12, when Jesus proclaims, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." And then later in that same chapter, he says, "You are going to have the light just a little longer. Walk in the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." And then at the start of our reading today in John chapter 14, Jesus speaks more clearly. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And later on in chapter 16, Jesus says, "But now I am going to him who sent me." And later he says, "In a little while you will see me no more." And later still he says, "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." These disciples had such a wonderful relationship with Jesus. But it wasn't going to last. And before long, his words were fulfilled. For Jesus was arrested and tried and sentenced to death. And then he suffered and he died on the cross before being buried in a tomb. And amazingly, he rose again on the third day and appeared to his disciples. But that lasted only 40 days until he ascended. And then they saw him no more. And so even though these men once had Jesus right there in their very midst, even though they'd known him so intimately, experienced his love so personally, now he was gone. He had left them. And not just to travel to another town or even to the other side of the world, but he had left them for the glory of heaven, where he took his place at the Father's right hand. These disciples, they could certainly remember Jesus and talk about him and share about him, but yet it would not be the same Things had changed dramatically. In fact, they found themselves in a situation very similar to our own. They must have felt so far away from their Lord, far from His love and far from His heart. But there's more to the story, isn't there? For while it is quite true that Jesus departed, do you remember what He revealed in the later part of our reading today? In John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, He said this: "If you love Me, keep My commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in My Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. Whoever has My commands and keeps them is the one who loves Me. The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show Myself to them." So what do these verses teach us? Well, first of all, these verses, my friends, assure us that the Lord Jesus loves us. He says, "The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show Myself to them." My friends, if we want to know the heart of Jesus for us, then we need to understand that His heart is a heart of deep love. It was out of love that He left the glory of heaven and was born upon this earth. It was out of love that He lived here among us, sharing our human experience in every way. It was out of love that He went to the cross, taking all our sins and failures upon Himself and paying the price for every single one. It was out of love that He purchased our salvation with His own precious blood. And my friends, it is out of love that He continues to care for us every single day. And we see this ongoing care in that word, advocate. In this passage, Jesus describes Himself as our advocate. But what does that really mean? Well, in Greek, it's the word paraclete. And this word paraclete is notoriously difficult to translate. While our Bibles have advocate, other translations have counselor, comforter, helper, or encourager. And it's only really a combination of these words that really brings out the true meaning. My friends, Jesus is telling us here that He supports us in every possible way. He guides us and advises us, protects us and defends us, strengthens us and uplifts us, consoles us and calms us, reassures us and inspires us. He's like our lawyer, our therapist, our patron, our personal assistant, our bodyguard, our mentor, and our cheerleader, all rolled up into one. And so it is little wonder that in verse 1 He says to us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Who needs to have a troubled heart when Jesus is on your side? He is our rock and our defender. He's the very best friend that a person could ever have. And all because His heart is full of love. My dear friend, maybe you have never actually thought about this. Or maybe you've just not thought about it enough. The Lord Jesus loves you with a deep and perfect love. Of that you can be certain. He loves us so much, that he gave his life for us. And if he gave his life for us, then won't he also be there to help us in every possible way? But that leads to the second thing these verses teach us, and that is that because of his love, Jesus will never abandon us. Even though he'd earlier said that he was going away, in verse 18 he declares, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And in other verses he says that we will see him. He says that he will be in us. He says that he will show himself to us. And so even though Jesus was soon to depart, he assures his disciples that somehow he would still be present among them. And my friends, he assures us that even though he is far away from us, that somehow he is still present among us. And that leads straight to the third thing that these verses teach us, and that is that the Lord Jesus is present among us by his Holy Spirit. And here we really focus in on the main verse that we are considering today, verse 16. For in verse 16, Jesus declares, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Do you see what he's saying here? Jesus has literally been living in the midst of his disciples. They've come to know him. They've come to love him. They've come to depend on him. He's been their advocate, their counselor, their encourager. And soon he would be gone. But Jesus says that after he leaves, he and his Father, who we have already seen share the very same heart of grace and compassion, that they would send another advocate who shares their heart of grace and compassion as well. And that advocate, Jesus says, is the Spirit. And let's be absolutely clear this morning, the Holy Spirit is no poor substitute. He is no second best option or disappointing consolation prize. In fact, in John chapter 16, Jesus says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus says it's actually better to be living today in the days of the Holy Spirit than to have been living back then when he was on earth. Because the Holy Spirit is with all of us, and he is in all of us, and he is in us forevermore. My friends, I'm sure that we all know some of the roles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to understand God's Word. He is the one who convicts us of our sin and gives us faith to believe. He's the one who empowers us to love, serve, obey, and witness for the Lord. But I want you to listen to what Dane Ortlund says in his book, Gentle and Lowly. He says, "These things are all gloriously true. But in this chapter," he says, "I'd like to add just one more to the list. The Spirit causes us to actually feel Christ's heart for us." The Spirit causes us to actually feel Christ's heart for us. And later he writes, "The Spirit makes the heart of Christ real to us, not just heard but seen, not just seen but felt, not just felt but enjoyed. The Spirit," he says, "takes what we read in the Bible and believe on paper about Jesus' heart, and he moves it from theory to reality, from doctrine to experience." Do you get it? We could see Jesus as being like a loved one far away in Europe, so far away that we can only read and hear about his love on paper. But that's not how it has to be. For we can have a relationship with Jesus, which is more like a loved one who has arrived back home. He's right here with us, present in our lives every day, and all because of the Holy Spirit. It would have been so wonderful to be there with those first disciples, having him as part of their lives, as their companion, counselor and comforter, their dearest friend. But Jesus assures us that in the Spirit we have another advocate. And as a result, he is right here with us today. He is still our constant companion, our counselor, our comforter and our friend. For he is with us and he is in us. And so just like them, we can know him intimately. We can feel his love and we can experience his heart. My friends, why do you think it is that when we read about Jesus in the Bible, that it's not just words on a page, but it's words that come to life. It's words that convict us and transform us, that motivate us and give us peace? And why do you think it is that when we hear a sermon about Christ, like Reuben's message 2 weeks ago, when he so beautifully assured us that Jesus is gentle and humble in heart, and last week when we saw that he has a persevering heart that will never, ever drive us away, why do you think it is that we don't just hear those things as information, but rather they move us and they affect us and we actually experience the love of our Lord? And why do you think it is that when we sing a beautiful song about Jesus, that it's not just entertainment like most of the music in this world, but it gets inside of us and we feel its truth and it can even bring us to tears? My friends, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, making Jesus real in our lives. And as a result, we don't just read of him, but we know him. We don't just hear about his salvation, but we go through it deep within our hearts. We don't just talk about his peace and his comfort and his hope, but we feel these things in real and amazing ways. We don't just theorize about the way that he can transform us, but we experience it as he genuinely changes our lives. My friends, because of the Holy Spirit, we can really feel the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can truly experience his heart for us. For he's not just far back in history, in the pages of our Bible, and he's not just far away in distance in the throne room of heaven, but he's right here in our lives and in our hearts, for he has given us another advocate, the Spirit of truth. And so let me urge all of us today to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to make himself authentic in your life, to turn the theory into reality, to turn the doctrine into experience. Ask him to truly lift the guilt and the worries and the sadness off your shoulders. Ask him to truly fill you with trust and with joy and with hope. Seek to know his real presence like a warm embrace, like a dear companion, like a loving friend. Let us ask the Lord by his Holy Spirit to let us truly experience the heart of Christ for us. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you all our worship and honour and glory and praise. We thank you that Jesus came into this earth and showed to us the depths of his love. And we thank you that when he went, He did not leave us as orphans. O Lord our God, how we thank you for giving us another advocate, the promised Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. How we thank you that he is with us, and how we thank you that he is in us, helping us and making your presence known to us every single day. How we thank you that the Spirit enables us to experience the very heart of Christ. And so we pray, please work in us by your Spirit. Please turn our theory into reality. Please turn our doctrine into experience. Lord, there may be some of us who've known about Jesus for a very long time, but yet never truly known him in our hearts. Please work in us today and let us feel his love in a new and a fresh way. Lord Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, please reveal your heart to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please hear our prayer. Amen.